Hello, Connection Cafe readers and listeners. Welcome to the third podcast interview in a series of conversations with Convia employees, partners, and friends. My name is Corey Podoretsky, and I'm a client strategy executive here at Convia. In this conversation, we'll talk with Chip Bell, the founder of the Chip Bell Group, a consulting practice that helps organizations build a culture that supports long-term customer loyalty. He was the keynote speaker at the Convia Summit in Baltimore, Maryland this year, and I had a chance to talk to him after he finished speaking to the entire group. Chip, thanks for talking with me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And I thought that we'd start off, if you could just tell those that didn't make your keynote a little about yourself.
Good. Well, I have a consulting company, and I work with organizations around the world. And part of my intent is to help them build a kind of experiences that build long-term customer loyalty. I'll use the word customer. Obviously, in your world, it's constituent, but essentially, it's the customer role. How do you build loyalty? How do you build that kind of allegiance to the organization? Because one of the things we've learned is, while it's important to acquire new constituents, the biggest return is trying to get those that you have to remain with you. And so a lot of focus is on how do you build a customer retention or constituent retention.
And that's definitely important for the nonprofit sector.
Oh, absolutely.
What they're really doing is just trying to build those relationships. And it's not just to be able to maintain the annual gifts, but also, you know, cultivating towards lifetimes or major gifts and
all
of that.
And other kind of participation, other kind of contribution, as well as just writing checks.
Now, you had five key elements of the constituent experience that you kind of called out in your keynote. Do you mind taking a moment to talk some about
those? I'd be delighted to. And these are based on lots of research that says in today's economy, with the constituent who's sort of come out of the frightening recession or still in it in many cases, and most of us have witnessed great service. So it's not like we're strangers to what is a great customer experience. We've been there. We've been to Disney. We've been in these places that deliver them. And they tend to focus in all organizations they work with or interact with. They have those same expectations. And so given that, you begin to look at, so what is it that is key to building that loyalty or retention? And the five things that we found keep popping up today for constituents is an importance that you understand me and demonstrate that you understand me. And understanding means communicating with me in the way that I value, that's important to me. It means knowing my likes and dislikes and knowing me at a deeper level than just the fact that I'm last year I gave $200 or whatever. So that's the first one is, how do we communicate, connect, if you will, with constituents in a way that's valued by them? The second thing is the concept of inclusion or partnership. How do you include me? How do you involve me? How do you make me feel like I'm not just a donor, but I am a partner with your organization? So that's a whole concept of inclusion is a second one. And the third one is, we know today constituents value organizations that leave them smarter. So how do you teach me? How do you keep me current? How do you keep me up to date? How do you position yourself as a conduit for my interest and my learning and my curiosity? So that's the third piece. The fourth one is what we call protect me. Protect me is, what do you do to make the experience comfortable? What do you do that eliminates the anxiety or uncertainty out of the experience so I don't worry, essentially? And obviously that's managing it so it's, I can trust you, manage it in such a way that you're easy to do business with, easy to interact with. And again, it's done my way. And the fifth component is, surprise me. Look for ways, those little small things that delight, that provide that value added, that says, I care about you enough to do something that makes you feel surprised, delighted.
You know, I thought all of those, you gave some really great examples of how some for-profit corporations are executing on some of those things. And a lot of them had to do with personal interactions where they created environments for other individuals in their companies or in their organizations to be able to facilitate those experiences for their customers or their constituents. For nonprofits, they're always trying to think about, okay, we have, you know, thousands, sometimes millions of constituents. How do we create similar experiences with sometimes a much more limited staff or set of resources? Any thoughts around how those approaches?
And I think part of the solution to me would be, maybe your constituents can be a resource that we sometimes don't tap. We think of, and part of the goal of the presentation was, we don't sometimes reach out to constituents in a way other than in the traditional way of saying we're looking for a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking for ways to say, would you be willing to write a blog for us
mm-hmm.
that we could put on our website? Obviously, you're going to quality control it and all that. But mm-hmm. but looking for ways, how do you involve constituents in a way that they become an extension of your resources? They become a part of your staff as well. I think for particularly small, that's one. Mm-hmm. Second is, I think there are countless technological resources now that are very low cost that can help manage all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I know, for example, I tweet every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm on the road all the time. You know, people say, how in the world do you do tweeting every day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do spontaneous tweets, but a lot of my tweets I programmed in on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go in advance and say, I want to tweet every day at 6 o'clock. Boom. You know, you can set all that up. I've got blogs that I write bunches of a time and then just stack them up and they fall when I need them.
Yep.
So you're programmed. Well, that's just one example of a lot of things you can do that in a limited staff that will maximize your output and without a lot of effort, and
mm-hmm.
that we can provide resources for that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like that planning in advance about the experience
yeah.
and then letting that experience kind of take care of itself.
Exactly, and then added to it as you need to.
What would you say is kind of, you talk about like the recession and how that has affected, you know, people's, you know, need for the constituent experience.
Right.
Do you think this is sort of this is the new state of the world, or is this something that is going to continue to evolve? And do you have any sort of projections about what will continue to change?
I do. I do think the core of it is the new normal,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's here to stay. I think what we're going to get smarter at is I think we're going to get better at the customization aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I still get a lot of spam. I should never get any spam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, you know, we should never get any spam.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody spams you, they don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got the ability now to do that. I think what you'll see is more and more figuring out ways to customize the experience to the customer in a way that they can have some control over what it is and in a way that doesn't invade their privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's kind of on the horizon. We're seeing beginnings of it already.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's that would be the one of the key things I'd say.
So continue.
But I think the whole focus on the experience mm-hmm. Is here to stay. And the reason I think it's here to stay is that if you think of my earlier pie chart that says value is determined by did I get the product or, in your case, the result
mm-hmm.
or outcome I wanted that I thought was a quality at an investment that I thought was fair.
Mm-hmm.
Investment would be either the price or my time or whatever I invested in it.
Yep.
And was the experience a good one? Those three things. Well, I think today more and more the constituents assume that the result will be quality and the investment will be fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's a table stake.
Mm-hmm.
That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that quality is good enough now that it will always be a table stake, generally. So then that leaves the experience as the playing field largely for constituents in the future. And again, the component of that experience that's going to make the difference is, can you personalize it? Can you tailor make it? And can you keep it fresh and new for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so really keeping that person engaged with how your organization is evolving so
yeah.
that as you're changing as an org, they're keeping up with that.
Exactly.
It's really important,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yeah. My grocery store just reorganized the whole store.
Mm-hmm.
And now, obviously, there
a lot of people would get mad. But
what are you doing? I can't find it. It used to be here, you know.
Okay.
And people took a little while to get over it. But here's what they learned.
Mm-hmm.
People were now seeing products they never saw before.
Oh, because they mixed
it
up.
Yeah, they mixed it up. They changed it. And so all of a sudden now, the meat was still in the back. I mean, the meat market's still in the back
mm-hmm.
and, you know, produce where it used to be. But in terms of the arrangement of the shelves, all of a sudden now, because it's mixed up and differently, people's what they see, what they experience is now new and
mm-hmm.
fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a concept I'm talking about is how do we figure out ways to keep the experience new and fresh, not the same old ho-hum.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of new and fresh, this wasn't one of the points of your keynote, but one of my observations about you as a presenter and
uh-huh.
sort of speaker is that you do a fantastic job at combining kind of humor and engaging stories
yeah.
in really informational, you know, points that you
right.
were making.
Right.
And that obviously engaged the audience and it really made it for, you know, an enjoyable experience.
Yeah. Thank
Any
you.
Tips about how you do that or how organizations can do that with their constituents and their messages?
I think that's great. That's a great point, and I appreciate your compliment. We as humans, I think, we hear the facts, but we're convinced by the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more you find the smart organizations, those that are being very, very successful, their whole focus is generating stories. If I can create a buzz, and a buzz is essentially is not a fact, mm-hmm. it's a story, then and then I can repeat that story.
Mm-hmm.
That Nordstrom has always been renowned for great service. And there was a famous story that about a guy went in a Nordstrom with a set of tires and wanted his money back, and mm-hmm. and the person gave his money back. And, of course, Nordstrom doesn't sell tires. But the truth of the matter was, you know, the store was a new store built on a site that had formerly been a Firestone. This is what I have been told.
Okay.
So the guy actually thought he was physically in the right spot. You'd have thought he'd have noticed. But anyway, the point is that story was one of the folklore stories that people were telling. Hey, did you heard about the tires? You know, whether it was true or not is irrelevant. The fact is it communicated a tone, a style, and a set of values that made Nordstrom very, very successful at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example of what I'm saying is the more an organization can tell its story, I think it has a more compelling value mm-hmm. to people and a more convincing value than if it tries to convince solely on facts. You've got to have the facts, obviously.
Yeah.
And so what I try to do in a presentation is to provide some facts that are relevant and mm-hmm. important. But it's the stories that make the message compelling and memorable.
Mm.
We don't remember the facts. We remember stories.
Yeah.
And the greatest teachers, if you think about, you know, Buddha, Jesus, or Muhammad, or whomever it is, the great prophets were teachers. We're storytellers. And the parables or koans or whatever you happen to choose, nevertheless, I think they are able to convey a meaning in a way a fact can't. Mm. So that's, I think, is the key thing.
Yeah. Well, and then even tying it back, it reminds me about, you know, you were mentioning how organizations can leverage the stories of their constituents or the resources of their constituents, and that seems like a really rich.
Oh yeah, you know, exactly. What if I reached out to my constituent, write me a blog about a story that you've had that we can put on our website?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's, you know, particularly when you don't have the staff mm-hmm. to write blogs every day, that's one way exactly that you could engage the constituents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of the stories that organizations that Convio works with, or nonprofit organizations in general, a lot of those stories can be sort of negative stories or stories about challenges, things that are wrong in the world.
Right.
You talked about creating positive experiences for our customers or our constituents. What would be the way to kind of take some of those challenges and then still make it a positive experience while you're telling those types of stories?
I think the degree to which, to me, the most epic story that you can tell is the one that has a happy ending that utilized the resources of constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember the research I started with that said, here's how you build loyalty. Tell me where my gifts went.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the impact they had, the result they achieved.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't always obviously do that. But I think the more we reach for success stories, to me, we put your contribution to work, and this is the result. This mm-hmm. is the happy ending. To me, is a much more. I want to be a part of that because it spells it's winning, it's mm-hmm. succeeding, it's being effective. To me, that's a much more effective outreach
mm-hmm.
than people are dying and you know the ones that. The epitome of that is mm-hmm. the ones where, you know, here's a child and they show pictures of deformed children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not that we, you know, obviously we want to know about that and that's important.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, to say, look, this child now has this opportunity because of you.
Yeah.
So the more positive outcome as opposed to the very catastrophic kind of negative story
mm-hmm.
it is a much more. We need to know both, but I think I would build my outreach on results that makes you smile
mm-hmm.
as opposed to needs that make you cry.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
so then
right.
the donor or the constituent focuses on the end state
being the
positive experience, not necessarily what they're trying to change.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Other resources, I know that you have a number of books, and I think we'll probably point to some of those from the Connection Cafe, but other, like, you know, people who inspire you or favorite resources that you have?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think if I were looking at a few books, for example, that I think one is there's a book called The Experience Economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's several years old, but nevertheless, I think the principles are solid.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Pine and Gilmore. I think another one is, it's a great book by a friend of mine, Gene Bliss, called I Love You More Than My Dog, that has, it's all about building customer loyalty, and customer devotion is another one that those are two that immediately come to mind I'd recommend.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. So I end each of my interviews with Convio employees with sort of a leading question.
Right,
and that's
good.
If you could finish this sentence for me, life is full of...
Jack Daniels.
The last answer I got was cookies. So
To me, life is full of surprises, you know, and I have, I've had a great life so far. I'm counting on a lot longer. And to me, what keeps me going and every day is just that sense of adventure and sense of fun and sense of surprise, you know, the little miracles along the way that you get. And I have now three granddaughters, which provide many opportunities for lots of surprises.
Yeah.
You'd have skipped kids if you could have. You know, just going straight to grandkids.
I have a 6-month-old, so I'm still in that very much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is life's a surprise. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
So, it's wonderful.
Yeah. And that wrapped up the conversation that Chip and I had. You can learn more about Chip Bell on his website at chipbell.com. And also check out the Connection Cafe and the Convio Summit website for more information about what took place at the Convio Summit this year. If you didn't make the summit, hope to see you next year. It was a great time, and we're looking forward to having it again in Baltimore next year. Next month, I'll be interviewing another Convio employee. And until then, thanks for listening, and keep up the great work.